You're listening to a Lost in the Groove segment. Having good vibes with your bones and joints. Taking a trip into the groove. American groove. American groove. Into stone world. Gonna
pop. Get home. As compared to when he was in the apartment, he's just really, really cooped up. And when I got home, he was just like, holy shit. It was like running circles and like bark like crazy.
Yeah, that's Louie.
Like, be like really, really excited. And now he's like been able to kind of like burn some energy throughout the day, you know, in this new environment. You know,
he's just the thing about Louie is he's such a little adventurer. Like, if you're looking. If you're looking for an adventure, he's your guy. He is.
Yeah, dogs are special like that. Like, they're very adaptable for the most part. Yeah, he's looking forward and like really sitting with me. I think he's really happy that I'm home. We went for like a tiny walk before we started the podcast and
him to pee. Yeah.
Yeah, my mom was being grumpy last night, or I was being grumpy, or anyways, we didn't get
along. You
both
were being grumpy. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just being nice.
It's the both, honey. I met your mom, but I met you. It's the both of you were grumpy.
You know, you'd be grumpy too if somebody was trying to force the end of days down your throat. But
yeah, see,
it's like, do I even have a chance at not being grumpy?
No, I'm not.
I mean, what type of mind power would it take for me to be like, you can't ruin my day? Like, it takes a lot, especially with your own family. I was able to accomplish that with like my old job. Like, I could just like work and be like, yeah, try to ruin my day. And like it worked, but I don't have that power in my home life.
There's this thing now with religious people, whether it's because of woke people and their stupid agendas or whatever it may be, that there's like, it's the end of days, you know, Religious Jews are also the same culprits to this. Like the Messiah, I'm like, in my head, I'm done. I really am. I'm like, I'm done.
Please
listen to me.
It's like, like if you say Messiah one more time.
One more fucking time.
No, but that is how it feels. Like, it's like, okay, I'm just trying to live my life.
Exactly. Like,
I got this weekend to figure out.
Thank you.
I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I can't count on something that may or may not happen.
Oh my God, Jesus Christ. Jesus fucking Christ. It's ridiculous. It's like,
I'm tolerant of religions, you know, but it's different when it feels kind of like, I don't know. There's
pushed? Pushed?
Like, I don't know, because it's not just like observing someone else's beliefs and being like, oh, I respect your beliefs. Like, it's actually like they're kind of like saying to you, like, and you better do it.
You know? Sinner.
Yeah.
You dirty sinner. Like, you have sex before marriage. You think the Messiah will save you now? Ha ha ha.
I don't know. It kind of catches me off guard too, because like I'm wrapped up in, you know, like all my responsibilities and stuff like that. And then it's like, hey, by the way, there's this whole other thing that you have not been paying attention to that's way bigger than everything you've ever known. And I'm like, oh, shit.
I'm going to drink my Arizona while you tell me about the end of days.
I don't know. I don't think anybody else, it doesn't seem like anybody else has this, like, but there's got to be like a million people who were like raised religiously that feel kind of like I do, where you're like, at least I'm like, I don't believe this, but then I was raised that way my whole life, that there's this like haunting little, like tiny little thing in like the very back of your mind that's kind of like, but you know, just because someone told you it your whole life. And so it's like just this odd little insecurity, like way, way back there, that it's like, God, let's really hope that the religious people aren't right about Armageddon. Okay. Like I'm hopeful and I'm pretty sure, but like
realistically,
I'm like,
realistically, there are plenty of things that can kill us and destroy our planet without Armageddon, such as asteroids, meteor showers, underground volcanoes. There's massive famine. Volcanoes under the ocean right now that can erupt and destroy the entire Earth's crust.
Oh, when the sun goes out, plants can't grow anymore.
Nope. Everyone dies.
If there was some type of like pollution layer that happened and it blocked out the light from the sun or created the environment where shit can't like grow anymore. Like,
you mean like Venus?
Yeah. Like if like the layers in between were just like full of nastiness,
like, harmful gases and toxins and acids. Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't be able to grow food anymore.
Nope.
We wouldn't be able to like breathe healthy. Like it, you know, these are, do you,
rain would be, I mean, green, okay, which is
kind
of cool.
If God was planning like the end of the world, doesn't it make sense that it would be like a long game? Like, I mean, everything is really, really long. Like Earth is like these big, long periods of time, hundreds of thousands of years. Like it's like, I think if there was like a end to life, that would be like, it wouldn't be like abrupt. Like it would be kind of this like gradual thing, which I think is kind of just how it works. It's like a gradual thing. But I watched like this like planet Earth thing that's like new, just released. I think it was on Netflix, whatever. They're talking about all the different times that like the planet has like wiped out and then like came back. And it's just like Earth is really resilient. And like, even if mankind doesn't exist, like something will. Like, even if it's like sea creatures that spark back up, like something is going to live on this Earth at some point in some way. Like, even if it's like some radioactive bullshit that's like, it's going to like, life will find a way in this weird place, whether it's us or not.
It does. And, you know, you bring up a really good point about the possibility of lost civilizations. You know, the idea of the Younger Dryas theory, the possibility that about 11,800 to 12,000 years ago, Earth was hit by a meteor shower. I think it's meteors or asteroids. I believe it was asteroids. And basically destroyed the glacier caps in North America, which ended the Ice Age as we know it, and probably destroyed whatever kind of highly advanced civilization was around then. And, you know, it's interesting to even think about the fact that what they believed, imagine if they believed in a messiah, or they came up with religion, or they figured out a different way of living life without religion, or whatever the case may be. But they never survived. So in essence, they experienced the Armageddon. But civilization did restart. Because here we are now, right?
There's this idea that like God will come and get you before it gets too bad. Well, it's like, yeah, that's kind of just like natural, right? Like,
right.
It's like, that's what, I mean, that's what death is. It's like something you can't live through, which would be too bad. I don't know. It's frustrating for me because I got a lot going on in my life, and I'm sure like maybe a lot of people feel that way about like the aliens or like, you know, different shit like that, where it's like I got a lot going on. And I mean, maybe it can be nice as like a distraction or whatever, but like I can't give a shit like about your politics or your aliens or your everything that's on the news. Like I can't put energy into that. I don't know, some people they never shut up about it, which I guess is what I'm doing right now.
No, you know something, it's not necessarily about shutting up about it. It's something that you have to deal with, Because there is that constant glooming thought of the end of days. It's baked in religion, it's baked in philosophy, it's baked in stories, it's everywhere. It's just a part of us human beings being gloomy, just gloomy motherfuckers. Gloomy ass motherfuckers that's like, ooh, what would happen if we all died? Oh. That's it. That's literally what it is. It's just this obsession of death. And Jews have a very different way of viewing the Messiah, where it's like, we don't understand, but we believe in it. We don't understand, but we can't wait till it's coming. We don't understand. The Messiah's coming tomorrow. So trust me, we Jews are just dumb as fuck as everybody else with this whole thing. I always found it to be so funny because that's how it was. They would talk about like the insanity of what the Messiah would be, but then they would always end with, we don't understand.
It's like beyond our comprehension.
Then
our
don't talk about it. Don't make up shit and tell people, right? Come on.
I think it's like somebody in religion had to like go as far as to like cap off everything. Like, you know, it's like we can't just have a religion that engulfs like your present day.
Oh,
it's
no.
Like, we've got to embrace all of eternity. Like, it's like it's got to last forever and always and even be the ending of everything. Like, it's like, I don't know, it's pretty intense with that. Like, and I consider myself a religious person, and it's just like I can't get behind any of that fear mongering. But it's not really how I want to spend my podcast. I don't know.
It's cool.
I'm
loving this conversation. I know we spent 11 minutes talking about this, but holy shit. As a person that's left religion and as a person like you've like experienced Christianity or whatever, whenever the conversation of like the Messiah comes up, I'm just like
living. Yeah. Oh, it sparks like a I get kind of
yeah.
Because it's like nobody knows, man. And I
nobody
hate,
knows.
Like, I hate arguing with people in a theoretical like conversation,
right?
But they're not being theoretical, like they're like serious, like they're like everybody does know and it is true, and you're like, well, yeah. this isn't a theoretical conversation.
No,
it gets
really
kind of
no
uncomfortable, but
it's so uncomfortable, right? It is. It's really uncomfortable because you're kind of like there and you're thinking to yourself, damn, do you really believe this? Like, wholeheartedly believe this is going to happen?
I don't know how other people are bothered.
I don't get
it. It sounds kind of suicidal, too.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
To an extent. Like, I'm like, you know, I don't know. Humans are weird.
Humans are dumb motherfuckers.
I was going to just, like, drastically, like, just, like, side turn the conversation
veer
and say,
off,
like,
you know, like, go off the veering, cliff and, like, roll yeah. six times.
I thought yeah. I got a lot of flack for not watching the football of the fucking Super Bowl. Did you watch it? Did you watch the Super Bowl?
No.
No? Was it on a TV near you?
Yes.
Okay. So you were around it.
I had an interesting experience that happened with the Super Bowl with a guest on the podcast. I'm not going to say any names, but...
Let's just rip them up. Rip them up.
Look at this. Straight from Iowa. Now you know how Iowans are. Whenever there's drama, they're like, we need drama.
Yeah, you're but, right. We don't have anything going on. We're like, what? Yeah. I don't know.
I love it. Oh.
Let's talk some shit.
Hey. No. So,
ooh, David's taking his clothes off.
No, it's an overall, and
you twisted that overall strap right there. When you put it back on, it's gonna give me some weird OCD attack. It would you too if you could see it? It would you would be like,
okay, I think everybody there, gets.
You make me want to buy overalls now that I'm watching you. Like, you know, I used to have stuff like that. Did you ever wear them when you were a kid or just now?
Wow, this is a real sidetrack of a conversation.
Yeah, it's another veer.
Very veered.
But you still got to tell me about your Super Bowl story.
Okay. So I grew up in the early 2000s, which everybody knows the early 2000s was the late 90s. It was still the 90s. Like the 2000s didn't really happen until like 2006, 2007. And anyway, my parents basically dressed me up like a little 90s kid. So I had overalls, the white sneakers, the white t-shirt, the white polo. You know, I had like all the swag.
Do you have a Tommy Hilfiger shirt?
Yes. Uh-huh. And I used to have the Bears from Tommy Hilfiger on my bed. You remember these?
I had a Tommy Hilfiger dress. It was like a little like golf looking dress. And it had like the white and the blue with like a little Tommy star or whatever it was. And I remember like I would always wear it anytime we'd go somewhere special. I like felt like really like cool.
Very cool, Carissa.
Yeah, so you got some overalls. I'm glad your parents like bought you like, you know, one outfit like everybody else's parents.
Well, my mom has always somewhat been a very fashionista, you know, very fashionable person. I think that's where I get that from. It's hilarious. Whenever I go out with my mom to get clothes, like the salespeople have to compete with the two of us. Because we're like, no. You don't understand her color palette. You know, my mom will like tell him, like, he knows what he's doing. Like, leave him alone. Like, you do your thing. We're going to take care of this. So.
And then she gets rid of the sales consultant.
Yeah, sometimes she gets rid of them.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
I mean, because she has me.
Yeah, you're good with color. You can tell what things go together and stuff.
Listen, honey, when you hella gay, you got to be good at a few things.
Not every gay man is good at that, but you're right. Sorry, I cut you off.
No, you didn't cut me off. The guy outside that's cutting down the trees exceptionally loud is cutting you off.
Man, that's a ideal time to podcast is during the gardener's visit to the apartment complex.
They always manage to show up whenever I do recordings in the afternoon. It doesn't matter what time. They just show up whenever I'm doing it. And I'm being serious about this. And thankfully, we have a really good system where you probably don't even hear the noise outside.
I heard something, but I didn't know what it was. Like, I thought maybe there was like a echo in your microphone because like, I only hear it when you're not talking. If you're talking, your voice is like covering it. But then I would hear it there. Yeah, I would hear it like over and over again, kind of like right after you would speak. I wonder if he's going to go out there and be like, shut the hell up, I'm podcasting. No, I think he's just like shutting the door. That's pretty cute. Oh, so Super Bowl? Super Bowl story.
What about the Super Bowl story?
You had a Super Bowl story.
Oh, right. Yeah. And then I was interrupted. No, I'm kidding. So I had a guest that I scheduled for yesterday. And, you know, and late. No.
Sunday. Today?
Sunday. My apologies. Sunday. So this was 2 days ago. Scheduled a time around 10 p.m. And what happened was I got there at like 10:05. It was my mistake. I was like 5 minutes late. But the problem was that Zencastr, this wonderful program, if you don't pay them money, they don't let you use their services because they're cunts.
Kind of makes sense, though, David. But I know it does. You're like, I've already paid so much. Like, you know, I mean, you've been really consistent with your payments. You think they'd give you like a 15-day grace period?
No, they don't give a flying fuck. Yeah, no,
it's insane. It's like very like, we charge you per the second.
Yeah. They don't really like, this is probably the best service that we've had, but they're really shitty with everything. Like, they give you, like, for us to like do post-productions is shitty. Like,
I feel like they're going to sabotage us now, David. Just
I don't give a flying fuck. They can go fuck themselves. I really don't care. It's like, the thing is, and again, this is, I'm also sidetracking, but like the thing about the podcasting industry that a lot of people don't get is most of the companies and programs that we use, they don't give two shits about podcasters.
Yeah.
Because the service that Zencastr offers is terrible for podcasters. Okay. I can't organize any of our recordings. I can't rename any of our recordings. We have audio and video connection problems through the fucking wazoo.
Yeah, all the time. We get on and it's like, why isn't this working?
And you send them emails and they're like, send us emails. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know how we're doing. And I'm like, you don't care. I've sent you emails. I probably sent them like 5 emails showing them things that they could do better. And they're like, oh, we'll send this over to our management team. What the fuck? Like,
what's the difference between Zencastr and Big Tobacco, you know?
Ooh, like, holy shit. Damn, honey, you win hard. No, all seriously, get back to the Super Bowl story, because I'm probably putting a lot of people, you know, ants in their pants.
Oh my God, what happened during the Super Bowl?
Okay, so I arrive late. I go ahead and I'm trying to figure out how to pay this fucking $20. And I pay the $20. And I made sure to send an email. Wait.
What are we paying $20 for?
The Zencastr? For Zencastr. That's how much this program costs us every single month. I know it's a lot. So what happened was, is that.
Not as much as. Never mind.
Not as much as what? As a big fat cock? Hey, honey, that stuff is expensive these days. So what happened was, is I scheduled a time to be at 10 o'clock and I arrived late. Like I was, you know, by about 10:05, 10:06, I sent him out an email and I said to him, I'm having some problems over here. Just bear with me. My apologies. I finally get everything taken care of and it's like around 10:05. No, sorry, 10:16. He sends me an email and he says, hey, man, I'm going to go back. I'm watching the Super Bowl. I'll let you know when I'm done.
And then it like went into overtime. Right.
So, okay. So first off, he scheduled the recording to be at 10 o'clock p.m. Now, as far as I'm aware of, the game started at 8. Okay, so he knew that he was going to be a part of the whole Super Bowl thing, and he scheduled an interview anyway on that date at 10 o'clock p.m.
Yeah, so he thought, all I need is to watch the first 2 hours of the Super Bowl. Or he thought, the Super Bowl is 2 hours long. Or, 10 sounds good, I'm just going to make David wait.
Now, again, I was the one that was late, okay? That was my mistake. However, the way that, like, he responded using the Super Bowl as an excuse gave me the feeling that this type of recording would have been something like this before we start, and I've had guests like this on before, okay? Where you're like, hi.
Oh, shit. Are you kidding me?
Wait. It gets even better.
And I mean, I've done that before, like on a bad day. But like, if you're a fucking guest, like, and you're the only one, like, and the episode is just about you and you being a guest, like, God.
So also, it's like the ones where you start talking and you try to start talking. You're like, so what's going on with you? What do you mean? You know, what have you been doing in your career? What career? Well, you stated that you've, you know, written books. And what type of books?
Sir, I am asking you what type of books you write.
And it's just this, like, you're dealing with this, like, block, you know? And then you start recording, and they're like this. So the way I start explaining the work and the career that I do, and they go like, you know, blah, 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 and they just go on for like 12 minutes.
I've done that before too.
Okay, you have, but there's a difference. I am actually curious, and I think actually people are interested in hearing what you have to say for 12 minutes. You know,
it's like when it's time to tell a story, but like,
I just don't respect Super Bowl people. I really don't. What's crazy is
it's like half the country, you know, is Super Bowl people. I don't know. I believe the Super Bowl is a marketing scheme to make people buy food and alcohol.
That's not very far-fetched, to be honest.
I think that the whole like football industry with the, not like the football industry, but like the part of it that's all about putting football on TV.
NFL.
Well, not just NFL, but like the section ESPN? Of it. No, I'm saying like of NFL and ESPN and stuff like that. What I think is kind of like markety is I think there's a plan to make people just sit there and eat food. Like I almost kind of feel like that's like the whole goal of television in general is to make the public complacent. I think it's kind of nice. I mean, I like entertainment. Like, don't get me wrong.
True.
I do think that there's something's happening where it's like, let's sit people down so that they can take in our stuff and buy our products.
There was, I saw this on Instagram. There was a Super Bowl commercial. I can't verify this because I didn't watch the Super Bowl. But there was a commercial of this parent. Hold on. After effect of congestion and now smoking marijuana. It's amazing. Anyway.
I would love to light up.
This commercial that they had was this mother and I believe daughter or son. I don't remember. And there was a swastika and no Jews that was spray painted on her garage.
Gosh.
And her neighbor noticed this, and she was anyway leaving with her kid, and he basically went there and washed it up. She comes back, and she sees that it's like clean, and there's no sun anymore. So she looks and notices that there's paint on her neighbor's shoe, and she like kind of gives him like, you know, like, you know, like a kind of whisper, and he's like shakes his head. And the slogan was no more anti-Semitism.
That was a Super Bowl commercial?
That was a Super Bowl commercial. And it's, I'm not trying to get like all political or anything, but
I know, but do you see that what they did was mm-hmm. expose everyone to the swastika? And then also expose everyone to what it looks like to hate on a Jewish person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I know they're like making an ad that's like, don't do this or whatever, but it's like, do you need to show everyone an example? Like, I don't know. I feel like that's still, you're putting it.
Do you need to make a commercial? Do you need to make a commercial of a black person being oppressed by a white person just to show, you know, how oppressive white people are towards the black community? So we should make a commercial like that too. I think that'd be a great idea. The oppressive white people.
I don't know. I mean, like, did it make any Jewish people feel better? Like, did anybody see that and think like, oh, wow, I feel like represented and I feel mm-hmm. like, do you think the Jewish people felt better watching it?
I hate to say this. Jews have been easily fooled into propaganda.
Yeah.
Many times. Okay, I'm going to be real with you. German Jews are called Yekis. That's what they're called. They're called Yekis.
Is it a bad thing to be called that?
No. Yekis are a group of Jews that a lot of them will not admit that a lot of their family died in Germany because they believed in the Nazi propaganda. And they stayed.
Like, they were like Jewish people that betrayed their people.
Correct.
But
not all of them. Some of them. And some of them did not leave, which caused a lot of their family members to be killed in concentration camps.
Why were they treated any different? Like, didn't they just pull everybody who just is Jewish, whether they said that, I mean, or did they really give people the opportunity to, like, with, you know, like, say, like, screw my past, I'll convert to, did they do that?
They just
kill people because they're not the same.
There was a period where they were allowing Jews to leave. And
like, if you just denounce everything,
correct,
that you are,
huh? You'd have to give up everything. You weren't allowed to take anything.
I mean, did they think that that was Armageddon? Like, at that time, like the Holocaust, like, did the Jewish people think, like, this is end of days and we're experiencing it?
In a way, the crazy part is the Holocaust was a horrific tragedy. But what unfolded after the Holocaust and after World War II to the Jewish community really shows you not only the power of propaganda, but this ideology of just self-hatred, of animosity, of anti-Semitism. To the point where Jews, religious Orthodox Jews, created their own versions of concentration camps here in the United States. A lot of them coming here. And
what
again,
do you
I'm
mean?
I'm not trying to badmouth the Jewish community in any shape or form in New York. People have to be realistic to themselves. Why did these communities form? Why did the communities in Borough Park form? Why did the communities in Monroe form? Why did the communities in Muncie form?
Oh, I get what you mean, what you're saying. You're saying that, like, Jewish people were forced into tiny communities to survive, but then also they recreated that same thing in New York. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we had kind of talked about that to an extent. It came up in conversation when I talked about how, like, there were lots of apartment buildings that were all provided to people from Africa that are refugees. I don't know exactly which countries because there's, like, more than one. But, like, in
Correct.
Des Moines,
yeah.
There are – well, I mean, there's more than one country that people are coming from in that region to Des Moines, Iowa. And I think they mindlessly put people from different regions of Africa all in the same apartment building. But I mean, there's varying cultures between people. It doesn't just is it from, you know, a region of the earth doesn't mean that they really even have much in common. They could even actually have more differences. But we had talked about, you had brought it to my attention that it can actually be kind of detrimental for a lot of people to all be in one area. And if you're naive to the situation, which I was when first talking about it, but I also kind of remember learning about that, like in government, social studies, different things like that, how it's, you know, you want to kind of like spread people out. But if you're naive to it, it can just look like something nice that people have provided for people. And, you know, maybe they'll all be comfortable amongst each other and have the freedom to do things the way that they like in their environment. A lot of cultures choose to do that, which, I mean, you know, the Chinese, when they immigrated here, they built their own communities within our, you know, cities.
Chinatowns.
And that was, you know, intentional and mm-hmm. wanted. So I don't know. I mean, it goes both ways. With the Jewish people, I mean, what else would they have done? Just kind of scattered in? I think it
you know
was
what the,
easier
you know what
to
the thing
survive
is?
In a contained group.
And I have to be careful how I say this. Because Jews have had this way of always being victims. And the one thing that I can say, being raised as a Sephardi Jew, we were not raised, I was not raised by my father to be a victimized Jew. I was raised to be proud of my ancestry, of where I come from. One thing we as Sephardi Jews have that Ashkenazi, which is European Jews, we know our ancestry, many of us, Syrians, Lebanese, Algerian, Moroccan, Egyptian, Persian Jews, all across the board. A lot of us know our ancestry and our history. And like we're talking about our culture and where we come from. We know what oppression is. Okay? The crazy thing about, you know, where my family comes from is from Morocco. Morocco is one of the countries in Africa that's very much like Switzerland for North Africa. And my father being raised in a culture where Christians, Muslims, and Jews all lived amongst each other.
Mm-hmm.
There were still problems. There were still Muslims that hated Jews. There was Christians that hated Jews. But you find that in all cultures.
And just sometimes it's just people who don't like each other,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then they use the religion, you know? But yeah, people don't like otherness. They don't like differences. I don't know. But it's like they're there regardless of the religion. People are different to their core.
People are just people. You know, it's kind of interesting how we've been talking about like Armageddon and the end of days. Look, anti-Semitism is a real thing. So is oppression. So is segregation. You know what else is also a problem? Is when you make problems that don't need to be there to begin with.
Yeah, and it's like you can add to the problem, you know, by just bringing it up over and over and over again.
You know,
if you're not
having
any solution.
Sorry for cutting you off. You're right.
I want to know what.
I was thinking, like, you know what would be a really great way of, like, this whole anti-Semitism? Make a commercial about the swastika. And actually talk about what a swastika comes from. A swastika is a Hindu symbol, if you turn it correctly. And it was a symbol that represented peace in Hindu culture. So Adolf Hitler just came along, stole this symbol that belongs to the Hindu people that have been using this for thousands of years, and put this oppression over it. Talk about that. You want to talk about black and, you know, the white oppressor of the black people. You know something? Right now, there's a person by the name of Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's a black scientist. And is he also, he's a astrologist? I don't remember. Oh my God. I have to Google this. Give me one sec. Stone brain. Da 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 da. He's an astro. Okay. So he's a, my apologies. He's an astrophysicist. When you realize the deeper lining, and my God, how much more bullshit can you shove down somebody's throat? I can't hear you.
I know. The microphone's got like a double click on it now, which I swear, microphones shouldn't change, should they? It's pretty strange.
Sometimes they do.
Yeah, so the Super Bowl conversation led us to talking about that commercial specifically. I also saw another commercial with Michael Cera advertising,
yeah.
CeraVe. Did you see,
yes.
that one? That's good. Yeah.
He is such a weird man, but I love every moment of it. I love it.
What were the other big Super Bowl commercials?
Those were the only two that I watched.
Yeah, me too. So, like, I with the Sarah V one, the curtains are like blowing like all over Michael Cera, and like at one point the curtains get like kind of like stuck in his face, you know, he's like like trying to get through them. I mean, there's not a lot that happens in that commercial. I wonder how much time they just spent like filming Michael Cera like in some curtains, like just being like.
Ever since he played Alan in Barbie.
You're right. I never thought about like, yeah, he was funny as Alan, but like, you're right. It put him in the limelight again.
I don't know how he ever got out of the limelight. Like, he's just.
Oh, he's great.
He's so amazing.
Yeah, he's kind of quiet. You know, I would say that's what put him out of the limelight, is that he's not really like a compete for your attention kind of person. You know, and I always liked a lot.
He's a type of actor that's always
like a little chin. Mm-hmm. He's the type of actor that what? Is the voice of reason usually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, literally. I was going to say that.
Were you? He's the one that's like, well, actually, guys. But he doesn't do it in like a know-it-all kind of way, which is really useful. Like, he's not like a arrogant voice of reason.
Do you know what kind of movie I would love to see Michael Cera in? I think like everybody can kind of agree. Roller Skating Disco, and it's 1976.
Yeah, but yeah, he works well in tiny shorts. It's true.
Oh my god, I would
Michael
be so-
Cera's always done good in tiny shorts. He was in tiny shorts, like, in that Juno movie. It was, like, his first movie. But he's also Scott Pilgrim, you know? Yeah. Like, so to me, like, that was, like, a huge thing. And in Scott Pilgrim, Scott Pilgrim's kind of a dick. Not really a dick, just kind of, like, focused on himself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's not that bad, but like he's not as nice as your typical Michael Cera, you know.
Yeah, it was a different era. It was a different era of Michael Cera. Do you remember that though?
Well, you forget. I almost forget that he's Scott Pilgrim. I think about Superbad and Juno, but Superbad is so cute.
Do you remember when Juno was in Blockbuster? They had all those posters. Damn. Mm-hmm.
You'd never seen somebody handle teenage pregnancy so chill. That's what was weird about Juno. She's like, shit, I'm pregnant. And they were all like, shit. And she's like, well.
Cool. It's crazy. It was 2000. Was it 2007 or 2000? When did Juno come out? I remember when it came out. This is nuts.
Easily like 2005.
2007.
Damn,
I was right.
Really?
It's 2007. I remember when it
came
out.
I thought
I
was younger. That's crazy.
Yeah, because like, they had the early release at Blockbuster. That's what I remember. They had all the posters. And back then, they used to have just that one shelf. Whenever they had a new release, it was just the one shelf. And if you didn't come in time to get the movie... That was it.
We were just talking about how much fun it used to be to rent video games. Like, you know,
oh my
like
God,
you'd go
it was so fun.
And get the game, and there'd be like this pressure to finish it before you had to return it.
They never gave you enough time. They never
did. You'd want to like, people would like run in there and like return it and like come back out, you know, like come out and then go back in and like rent it again. But you had to wait for the guy to like take it out and put it back on the shelf and like, do you remember like going in there and like you want something and they'd be like, we're out of it. And it's like,
damn,
I want you to look through the return basket.
And you know, you like, would have to like pay them with candy and
to get them to go through the return basket.
You have to
like,
pay them
somebody
with candy.
Might have returned it already. Can you look? Can you see if like someone dropped one off? Like, did anybody have one due like soon? Like, are they coming back yet? It's like a video library. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
We had where the manager, I'll never forget this, the manager's desk was all the way in the back, and his computer had a floppy drive.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you see him put like a flop in it?
Yeah.
I had some floppies. Like, They taught us how to use them when I was in like elementary school, and we like put like little things, we'd like drag it over to the floppy. And then when you want to be done with the floppy, you drag it to the trash can and it would like eject it. Yeah. Yeah, I had like little square ones. They were used a lot, like when my sister was in high school. Big deal. You'd have like your whole paper on that floppy, you know, and it's like.
Sometimes you need multiple floppies because there wasn't enough storage on one.
You'd have. It's like if you lost that thing, you're like screwed. Like there's no like save to a cloud or save to a, you know, system. It was all just on there.
Honey, do you ever wonder to yourself, how on earth are future generations going to survive?
I'm not really surviving that great. I kind of feel like it's pretty hard. Like, almost like it'd be mean for me to have children. I might do it anyways, but...
You don't want to add to the 8 billion?
No, I mean, like, it'd be mean to, like, bring children into this. Like, they'd be like, thanks! You know, I mean, I feel a little that way sometimes. Like, man, yeah. This is really unfair.
So,
to like bring people into like this battle is a little, I feel a little bad about it. But I don't know. Yeah, it's how will they survive? How will the new generation survive? I don't know.
AI?
Because rent costs a lot. There'll always be people who survive. There just won't be as many. You know, like,
truth be told, though, we live in probably one of the best periods in human history.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, if you really think about it, besides, you know, the fake oppressions and the agendas and the.
I mean, for women, this is probably one of the safer time periods to live in. In general. A lot less rape and pillage.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially like compared to the 80s. To the 80s?
I said less, by the way.
Much less. And also, first off, women have a lot more power than they've ever had before. I mean, you know, with the advancement of technology such as like smartphones and devices, you know, what are men supposed to do now, you know?
Is it weird that I just had the urge to like, beat my head against the microphone? I don't know what that was. Like, I was like, and I'm like, wait, why would I do that?
Well, it's probably because of the implanted chips they've put in our brains without telling us. And
hey, I never got your shit vaccine.
Oh, no.
I'm kidding.
Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no.
You can't use that as the clip.
Shit.
No.
What do you mean, no?
I said I was kidding.
Were you?
My mom was saying that the British Parliament released that the vaccine doesn't help with transmission.
You don't say. My mom was asking me the other day, so
mom.
it didn't come from a bat?
I was just talking about the bat thing the other day, too.
I was like, no, mom.
I know, but where did the bat get it from? There's still a source for the bat. You know what I mean? Maybe the bat got it from the lab in Wuhan.
Yeah, before I got quick Chinese...
Have you ever had bat before?
No, I don't plan to.
There's bats that like drink blood and like carry rabies and like.
Yeah, there's a reason. My mom got, she touched the bat and she had to get rabies shots.
Oh, where'd she touch? Oh, just like there was one like in the attic or like it like got inside or something.
There was one in the clothing store. When she came in there, there was a bat.
Oh my God, tell the story.
So this was back when we were living in New York. So this was like 2021. Oh my God, I cannot believe I said back 2021. Anyway.
Yeah, 3 years ago.
3 years ago. Yeah. Wow, has it really been 3 years? Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, that's the time span that I was single.
double that, and that was the amount of time that I've been single. So anyway, okay, my mom goes into this store looking at clothes, and she comes in there. She sees the clerk at the cash register, and she seems very startled. So my mom goes up to her, and she says, "What's going on?" And she looks at my mom, and she says, "There's a bat." And she's like, "Where's this bat?" And she's like, "Over there." And my mom goes over like it was nothing. She's like, "Oh, okay." Picks up the bat and brings the bat outside. So mom is telling me this on the way to the store that she saw this bat.
Like, you just hear your mom. She's like, "As I picked it up and I just took it outside.
I put it outside. You know, what can I tell you?" Anyway.
This poor girl was so scared.
So scared. I looked at my mom and I said to her, "Mom, you touched a bat like it was nothing?" And she's like, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "You're gonna have to get rabies shots now." And she's like, "Why?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't know if you heard of this. Bats transmit rabies."
Isn't that just if it bites you? Doesn't it have to bite you?
No.
It's like on their skin?
I don't know. Like, there's this thing, like, this is what I've been told, that if you touch a bat, any kind of bat, you have to get rabies shots.
Hey, better.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
They're cute. I don't know. They make this like weird, like chirpy sound.
They're blind. Isn't that nuts? They have eyes, but they're blind.
Well, they can see in the dark better, or they have like this like sonar situation mm-hmm. going on or mm-hmm. something. I don't know. They gotta have eyes for some reason, right?
Mm. It's interesting how like there are species that exist that have poor eyesight.
Maybe it's a good thing somehow. Makes Maybe. Their other senses like really, really, you know, excited.
They don't have to see the Michael Cera, you know, commercial in all full colors.
You know, they don't get to see the Michael Cera commercial.
Did Louis see the Michael Cera commercial?
Louis never saw the Michael Cera commercial. The funny thing is, like, Cera V's been around like forever, you know, and like it's so like basic, but. It was a good idea. I don't know. Now everybody will like buy CeraVe.
I can't afford CeraVe.
I know. It's only it's like a CVS thing. It's not like Sephora.
Honey, do you know how much a container of CeraVe moisturizer is?
$12.99?
No, it's $23.95.
That's still half the price of like Sephora shit.
I get that, honey, but like compared to some of the products that I own, that's a lot of money for CeraVe.
What moisturizers are you using?
I use a hydration moisturizer, so it's 24-hour.
I use Dermalogica, and it costs like, you know, fucking like $140. But I get it on wholesale, you know.
I mean, honey, so. you look glam bam.
I do feel like I have less wrinkles since I moved to Iowa. I don't know if it's the skin cream or not being in the sun as much, or I don't know. But yeah, I feel like I look a little bit less. Like,
you were
wrinkly.
One of the lucky 30, you know, like one of those gals in her 30s.
Yeah, you know? 35 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 30.
White and privileged. What?
Well, shut up. I don't
kidding.
Know. I mean, I've
no,
got some privilege, but...
No, you're not.
People don't do
You're
much
fucking
for
hard
me.
Ass. You're a bad bitch.
Ooh. I had my boyfriend go to dinner with my parents.
Ooh.
Yeah. Hey, I told you about my obsession with the rubber duckies, right? Because I was telling you about the rubber duckies on the Jeeps and...
The obsession of how many rubber duckies are you up to at this point?
Well, I thought about bringing my rubber ducky collection up to show it to you, but it's downstairs on the ledge. I laid all the rubber duckies out. And at home, I have like 12 rubber duckies, but at work, I have like another like 6 rubber duckies. And I got like, okay, so we went out to eat and there was like a claw machine
of rubber duckies. Where,
yeah, it like drops down. You can pick up rubber duckies, but I got one rubber ducky that looks like a Minecraft duck. You know, like it's like all square and looks like kind of okay. Like cubed, like a Minecraft like character.
Okay.
It was really cute. I wish I could show you all my ducks. I got one duck that was dressed like a giraffe. So it has like little like giraffe horns and like they make the duck look like it's wearing like a Halloween costume.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like face is like cut out and it's like wearing like a onesie or something. But
it's adorable. This is adorable.
I got a bunch of ducks that night. I think I got like 6 or more. The claw machine lets you keep going until you catch a duck, like, which is really nice because claw machines, like, you don't catch anything. It's kind of like disappointing. You feel like you threw your money away. But I was so excited to find a duck machine. Like, I was like, oh my God, duck machine. So now I have like a bigger duck collection. And I'd been wanting to go to like some crazy like duck store, like find a whole bunch of interesting ducks, but I don't know. I think I need to just like sign up for an account to buy like
big
bags of stocks of ducks, like they do for the machine.
Oh God.
Like, the people who own that machine, like they must like place an order somewhere for like a big like bag of ducks, you know what I mean? And then to fill the machine. So it's like, where's the variety of ducks coming from?
The fact that you actually won ducks is surprising because those machines are all rigged.
That's what I told you, is that you keep going until you win a duck. So like the claw machine will like drop down. If you don't catch anything, it'll give you another turn until you at least catch a duck. Yeah, go till you get a duck.
Okay, are you telling me that there's an honest claw machine that exists,
yes,
in the world?
And it's a rubber ducky claw machine. And it'll let you keep going till you get something.
Wow.
So you're basically just paying $1 for a rubber ducky. Because you're guaranteed to get one.
Is that a lot?
Everywhere else I've looked, ducks are usually $1, you know? Like, I found, like, some rubber duckies at Target, different stuff like that. They're usually $1. It was pretty standard.
It just amazed the fact that you have a rubber ducky collection.
Yeah. It's a new interest of mine. I've been trying to keep myself, like, happy. So if the rubber duckies help, that's cool. But I did want to say, you can rhyme. It's a buck a duck.
A buck a duck. Or duck buck.
$1 a duck.
Or dick to the bick. Bick to the dick.
Duck dick.
Or big duck.
Big duck. Duck.
Hey!
Really, really cool. That was a... I don't know. I got a duck that's like holding a little book.
I got a duck
that has like a mohawk. I don't know. I should have brought all the ducks up so I could like actually show them to you.
No, it's okay. We're getting visuals. We're getting visuals of the ducks, and you'll send me pictures later. That I can
I have a princess duck.
Oh my God!
It has like a little crown on.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Do you have a little like wizard or like warlock duck?
I do not have a magic duck yet.
Ooh.
I have a superhero duck. I also have a duck that's just painted like a mallard duck. So that's kind of funny because it's like painted like a real duck.
But it's not. It's a rubber ducky.
It's a rubber ducky, yeah.
And so it's like the green and the brown?
Yeah.
Like my God. It's so
that
cool.
That one's pretty cool. I like that one. There was one that was dressed up like an elephant. I really wanted that rubber ducky. But yeah. I don't know. If you could get a rubber ducky, what would it be like? Like if you could like any rubber ducky, you're like, I want a rubber ducky that's themed like
Jim Morrison.
Jim Morrison rubber ducky. Ooh. What would it look like?
There's probably one that exists, so I'm going to Google it.
Jim Morrison rubber ducky.
There has to be. Like,
a Mick Jagger rubber ducky.
Oh my God, that's even better. Oh my God, no way.
What?
No way. There's a Ziggy Stardust rubber ducky.
Oh, of course. Yeah, they put the...
There's an Ozzy Osbourne rubber ducky.
What's it doing?
It's being Ozzy.
I'm going to have to Google him after we get off the phone, the podcast.
No, unfortunately, it does not seem like there's a Jim Morrison one, but there is an Ozzy Osbourne.
Would it be wrong to make a Jimi Hendrix rubber ducky?
Okay, I'm Googling that.
You would give it like a fro and then like put a bandana around it.
Rubber ducky. Oh my Janis God, there's Joplin. A Jimi Hendrix one, and it's also, oh my God, and it's also colored correctly. Here, I'm sending it to you.
Exactly. What do you mean by that?
You'll see when you get the picture. Damn. Holy shit, it's $17.
Oh my God, it's so like decked out. Yeah, that's a $17 rubber ducky. And it looks like...
It's bomb.
A lot like Jimi Hendrix. Like, it's got a guitar, it's got a whole outfit.
It's a black rubber ducky. Did we not mention that? With the guitar?
There he is. There he is. Really cool. They tastefully pulled off a skin tone change on a rubber ducky. Like, I was worried about how it would work. Mm-mm.
No, this one's pretty.
What company is this? Now I have a company that makes like celebrity ducks, is what they're called.
God, wait. Okay, all right. Let me see this.
The Rubber Duckery. Babe, oh my God, we found it.
Like, Duck Jeep?
Dublin, Ohio. This is the store.
Wait a minute. Is this a rubber ducky store?
I mean, kind of. Jeep ducking. Ducks, tags, duck stands, badges, and more.
Oh, my God.
Duck, ooh. Duck, Jeep.
Ooh. Oh, my God. They have a lot of... Wow. They have Jerry Garcia.
Look at... Okay.
They have Donald Trump, which is Make America Quonk Again.
Look at all the George Washington ducks.
Oh my God, there's George Washington ducks. Oh my God, this is amazing.
Do they have a Lincoln duck? Is there
they have a Jurassic Lincoln? Park. They have a Bruno Mars. They have a John Lennon rubber ducky. Oh my God, this is amazing. Okay, I'm loving this. I do not care.
Where did you find the John Lennon rubber ducky?
Oh my God, I'll send it to you. Wow, this is, wow.
Space ducks. Yeah, we found it. We found the duck mecca.
It's, oh my God, and it says, give geese a chance. Wait, hold on. Oh, we are saying.
Now I'm just sitting here looking at ducks. Is
give geese a chance.
As in, like, rubber ducky geese?
I don't know. I just sent it to you. This is so funny. Oh my God, this is amazing.
Nurse ducks, ninja ducks.
Statue of Liberty ducks.
It's too much fun. Like, and I don't find a lot of things that are like this silly and lighthearted and fun. So I've really like, I don't know. So this website that we're looking at is called rubberduckery.com.
Yes.
And they're based out of good.
Dublin, Ohio, correct? Oh my God. Yeah. They had a Bob Marley one, but that one sold out.
A Benjamin Franklin duck.
Oh my God, this is amazing. They have also from The Wizard of Oz. No way.
Oh. What, like a Dorothy duck?
Yeah. Like these ducks kind of like, oh my God, they have a Wicked Witch. I'm sending you this.
How do they get all these? Are they made in China? Like,
probably. Or maybe they make them. Wow. Like they even
make America quack again. Oh no.
Oh my God, I love that. You should tell, like, that should be a bumper sticker. I would put that on my car.
I'm going to have to get Mom the Trump duck.
Oh my God, you should.
Then they just have rubber ducky facts on their website. Did you know that rubber ducks had a quirky beginning in the late 1800s, back then, they couldn't even float. They started as solid chew toys for kids until the 1940s, when they finally learned to float and became the adorable yellow figures we love today.
Wow, that was...
Not really that... I mean, it's kind of interesting. Not really rubber? The plastic truth. Despite the name, rubber ducks are typically made of plastic. Duh.
Wow.
Mama duck.
What about Papa duck?
Bath time fun and development. Splashy learning. They say that having a rubber ducky in the bathtub is good for child development.
You know, they also say that's great for child development is stuffing a lollipop in their mouth and letting them suck on it.
I don't know about that, but, you know.
I'm kidding. Honey, do you want to
wrap? Fact number 7. Duck collector extraordinaire, world record holder, Charlotte Lee, an American duck enthusiast, holds the Guinness World Book record for the largest rubber ducky collection. Starting in 1996, she gathered more than 9,000 floatable ducks, showcasing her passion for the beloved quackers.
That's
the best duck collector ever. 9,000 ducks.
Honey, you got a little more catching up to do.
God, wish. 9,000.
You got to get then 10,000. You have to have a collection of 10,000 rubber duckies.
I don't feel like it'd be very hard. Like, if you really, like, put your mind to it. Like, you know.
She did. Since 1996.
And then she put them all, like, in a duck museum. Shit, I'd go to that duck museum. Where's her ducks on display? All 9,000 of them. God, I'm going to have to look up Charlotte Lee and figure out where the 9,000 ducks on display.
This is glorious. Honey, we're having a
blast.
Yeah,
I know. You're like, I've had enough fun with this rubber ducky Armageddon experience.
Actually, I have a little thing going on a little later. But anyway, we love y'all. You've been absolutely fantastic. I don't know if you've heard the news. Podcast has been growing. And
yay.
I know it's very exciting. But we don't hear from you motherfuckers, okay? So listen, if you want to talk to or check out American Groove, be sure to check out Carissa, which is at American Groove Pod. And if you can't stand us and you want a little something interesting, there's Lost in the Groove Pod. And you can find us on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at Lost in the Groove Pod. So with that, we love y'all, but we're going to get the fuck out of here.
Peace.
Peace, motherfuckers. Why isn't this fucking Jesus Christ? We're all about the artist. That is the whole purpose of this podcast, period. And you have a really valuable tool. You can share this with artists, people that are creative, someone that can enjoy this podcast and really enjoy the experience of Lost in the Groove. So with that, let's jump back to today's episode, shall we? Hey, it's Dave, and I quickly just wanted to jump in and say, if you've been enjoying the podcast and enjoying this episode, if you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, that'll be so greatly appreciated. Because here's the thing, someone might read that review and make the choice if they want to listen to the podcast. You get to help grow this podcast with us. How fucking cool is that? Let's jump back to today's episode.